At the moment, as we spend our time in study around God's holy word, we continue our study on leadership, on eldership. At the moment, we're looking specifically at. We're going to cover other areas of leadership as well within the church. Just a quick kind of reminder: all roles are based upon character and ability. When we look at calling sometimes qualifications, I like to use the word qualities. So we're looking at qualities with reference to elders, deacons, preachers, and also we're looking at the saints, the church, each and every Christian as well. But elders, deacons, and preachers are the only appointed roles that we know of in the Bible, that the New Testament talks about. These are the only roles. And so, of course, as we say, we do have the role of a Christian. That is also an appointment, because as we become a Christian, we become a member of the body, we're added to his church, and then comes with that some responsibilities and tasks that we have as well as a church to live our lives accordingly. So, in churches today, a lot of denominational groups, you'll find things like superintendents and archbishops and all kinds of roles that have been created by man. These are not biblical roles within the church. And sometimes they go into the Old Testament, they take tasks from the Old Testament and bring them forward. So you hear about people called prophets in the New Testament. Of course, there are no prophets in respect of that. Of course, as Christians, we're all priests, as Christians, and we'll look at that as we go through the study. But any roles that have been created, we will know, because they're not recognised in Scripture. And so certainly they're not talked about in Scripture. So our position on this is that these roles were created by man. If they're not coming from the Scripture, then they're man-made roles. These are man-made positions within the church that are not authorised biblically and are not acknowledged biblically, and certainly not ordained with reference to these appointments being appointed according to Scripture. Also, we have noted that the head of the church, if you remember, we started this right at the beginning, the head of the church is Jesus Christ himself. He's the head. He's the head of the church. So elders are not the bosses of the church. Elders are not the chief commanders of the church. Christ's leadership in the local congregation is exercised through the elders. And so in order for Christ to be able to lead his church, the elders are used. Now in the Old Testament, of course, if you remember, Christ spoke to his people through prophets. They prophesied, they spoke on behalf of God. In the New Testament, we have the word of God, we have the written word. The elders then utilise that word in order to lead God's people and to lead the church. Elders are men who possess general and specific qualifications. Remember that. There are two things. There's general and specific qualifications, and these are all defined and set out in the Bible. So over the last few weeks, we've been looking at these things as they are set out and defined in the Bible. They're very clear. They're very clear, but sometimes can be taken out of context. Okay, and so we have examined these so far. We've looked at the elders, we've looked at their roles, we've looked at their responsibilities, we've looked at their qualities, as we like to say. Very clearly explained in Scripture. Okay, these are recognised to a degree, and they are visible. Okay, they're recognised to a degree, and they are visible. And I want to explain it like this. Elders suitable to qualify will become obvious. They'll become obvious. You will note that these are recognised to a degree that they are noticeable. And I want to explain that in just a little bit more detail. For example, I've mentioned this before, an elder needs to be a man. The Bible clearly states that he's a man. And so we recognise a man. We see a man, we know it's a man. It also says that he is a husband, so it's recognized through the fact that he has a wife. He has a wife, he's a husband, he'll have a marital paper, but not only will he have a marital paper, he'll be living like a husband. Okay, because a lot of people can say I'm a husband and not be a husband, not live anything like a husband. And so these are things that we recognize through the way that he is with his wife. He's a husband. So we can see that clearly. Okay, that speaks for itself. He's a man and he's a husband. He's also a father. He has to be a father in order, because his children need to be obedient. And so he is a father. So all these things are measured, complete and full. And so before we even begin, we can say, well, okay, then we're looking at an elder. First thing, is he a man? Yes. Is he a husband? Yes. Is he living like a husband? Yes. Okay, is he a father? Yes, he's got children. And we can measure that complete and full. But then we see things like, he's hospitable. Now, how hospitable? How hospitable? And so what can happen in a church is that sometimes we can make this definition so big that it's beyond reach, that he can't be an elder because he's not hospitable enough as we see it. How hospitable are we talking about? Does he have to have a house full of homeless people? Does he have to be out on the street and taking all the homeless into his house and filling every corner of his house? That is not what we're talking about. The hospitable is with reference to so many things. Hospitable with his time. He's a man who's got time. He may come and meet you in a coffee shop and come and sit and talk to you about things that are going on in your life. He may invite you to his home and you have a meal. Or he may just find the time to come and see you and spend time with you. And so the fact is this. The answer to how hospitable is enough to be noticeable. Enough to be noticeable. You notice this hospitality in the life of this person by the way that this person is conducting their life and by the way this person is living. So you know he's got to be a man, and we know what a man is. You know he's got to be a husband, you'll know what a husband is. You know he's got to be a father because he'll have children, that'll tell you that. But then you come to things like to be an hospitable person. That is a quality that we recognise and see in them. The Bible shows this as something as well that is a work in progress. And so we'll look at that again as we go through this. The Bible shows the work to be set out in various aspects, but this is the key things: to protect against false teaching and teachers. So the elder is the one who, when somebody's teaching or preaching, that they're scrutinising and checking and making sure and making reference. You know, if an elder was in a building without his Bible, you'd be concerned. You'd be very concerned. Because the elder is the one that will be sitting there and he'll be examining the things that are being said. He may have a quiet word with the preacher after and say, listen, you mentioned this, but I just want to check something with you. And so you're looking for things that maybe are being taught that aren't biblical, or things that are against, that could cause division, or things that could divide the church, or things that could weaken the church. They promote, listen to this, sound teaching. Sound teaching. Very important, and we've looked at these, and we've looked at these passages, and we're going to get into the scriptures in a minute. They promote sound teaching. Good works. And unity and peace. An elder is the one who utilizes and brings peace within the body because of the sound teaching that they are presenting. So those elders are men who are teaching sound doctrine to bring good works amongst the people. That is the development in the homes, in the families, in the marriages, in the relationships, in the body together, but also with reference to the communities, in our workplaces, all the things that we have to deal with in our lives. And then the unity and peace is amongst ourselves. So when there's turmoil and when there's things going on, they're the ones that are going to come and bring the peace amongst the congregation. So these elders have these tasks. They provide, most importantly, examples as leaders. Don't pick an elder just based on what they know. If an elder's, you see a brother and he's got good Bible knowledge. Listen, the Pharisees had good knowledge of the law. They could quote it. If you sat an exam with the Pharisees, they'd pass. They'd pass the exam. We're not looking at that. What we're looking at is the qualities in the lives of these men. And so these are men that are practicing what they teach. They're practicing to be, when they teach peace, they bring peace. They're producing peace. When they talk about love, they show love. When they talk about unconditional love, these men show unconditional love. Maybe to people who are unkind to them, maybe people who treat them badly, maybe people who undermine them or try and discourage them. These men show love regardless. They promote that sound teaching. These are men who, when they're dealing with situations where things have been committed by members of the church, they're the ones who, regardless of how sin, serious that sin may seem to be to them, they show the same unconditional love to the people that they are working with. They provide examples as leaders. And so that is a big part of the responsibility. Now, we're going to get into the study. Most scriptures in the New Testament describes their character, their work or situation, and this can be shown by examples. So in the scriptures you can have examples, but also you can have things that are sort of become absolute. These are things that have got to be done. You know, there can be various examples like that, you know. So you can have an example of something, but you can actually have the authority to say this must be done. You know, it's a commandment. And so what we do as Christians, and I mentioned this at the start of the series, is that we'll come across some of the teachings that will be examples and some of the teachings that will be commandments. And so it's defining the difference between the two and understanding that they're both as important as each other. They're both critical to our understanding in relation to elders and in relation to these men. The same with preachers, the same with deacons. We can go to the scriptures and see examples of how they did things, or we can go into scriptures and see the commands of how they did things as well. And so these things describe their character, their work, or the situation that they are in, or examples of how they are appointed, etc. There are only two passages that deal with how a man becomes an elder. There's only two passages. This is out of the appointment. One passage is an example, and the other passage is a command. And we'll look at them and get this feel for that. So we can work with the examples and we can work with the commands. And so all of these things are things that help us to understand. So, for example, we know in the New Testament that there are examples where Christians met and broke bread together. In fact, when in Acts, when the church began, and they continued in fellowship, and they continued in worship, and they broke bread together, and they did that. And there are other passages that say on the first day of the week, this is what you do, you take the communion. And so these things are ones, an example that you can look at and say, this is the example of the New Testament church. We've heard brothers on a Sunday when they're officiating over the communion will say that these examples were given, but also these commands were given as well. So it's exactly the same thing with reference to understanding this work with an elder. So two passages we'll look at, first of all. One passage is an example, and the other passage is a command. So let's get into scripture, because it's a Bible study. And we'll start with Acts 14 and verse 23. So if somebody could read that.
So when they had appointed elders in every church,
I'm sorry.
For this, so when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they are believed.
Okay, thank you, brother. Sorry about that. So when they had appointed elders in every church, there's no command in here. We don't see a command. We just see an example. They had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting. They commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. There's a lot of stuff in there when you look at the breakdown. first of all, this example here is the Apostle Paul and Barnabas were on their first missionary journey in Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. Okay? And the Bible says that they appointed elders. That's what they were doing. A few things in there to notice. They appointed elders. So not elder, elders. So there's an example here for us. Because it was in more than one place. So in every single place that they appointed more than one. Okay, they appointed elders. Notice this, they appointed elders, and also in every church. You know, sometimes one of the things I always noted was that I'd grown up in the United Kingdom where there seemed to be a lack of urgency for eldership. That's my view. I don't want to sort of play that on everybody, but I kind of felt that way as I was growing up, thinking, you know, there's a lack of urgency with this. There's a lack of concern sometimes, maybe, with reference to the importance of eldership. But the Apostle Paul, he saw it in a different light. He didn't see it that way. You know, they just started these ministries. They've just been, you know, they're doing these journeys in these places, Lystra, Iconium, places like that. They're setting up all these ministries, and they're appointing elders. The Bible says that they appointed elders. And as we said, note the plural, elders, very important. And we note this, they did it in every church. In every church. You know, wherever there was a church, there was an importance, or there was an urgency with reference to this. Now, I'm not saying they rushed it, and I'm not saying that they just went around irresponsibly, and I'm not suggesting for one minute we or any other congregation would do the same. That's the last thing we want to do, is make mistakes like that. But they did this in every church. This passage doesn't give much, though, with reference to the detail of how they did it. I mentioned the scripture giving an example, and this is one. This is an example. We can use this, we can read this, and we can say, ah, okay, then what do we learn from this passage, just these few verses? Well, number one was that they appointed elders, so they were appointed. Number two, that they did it in every church, so it wasn't just in a set area, or it wasn't really, it was an urgency, it was something that needed to be done. Where there's a body of Christ, the Lord expects elders in that congregation. Just as this congregation, you know, we've been here 10 years. The Lord expects elders in this congregation. Yeah, I know a lot of preachers who won't teach eldership, frightened to death that the elders come in and listen, we need elders. More important than me being here, we need elders here. Absolutely important. And so they appointed elders in every church, they prayed with fasting, and they commended them to the Lord. So, you know, this is the example. There's an example of what the apostles were doing at that time. This example, he wasn't just planting a church. He wasn't just putting churches there and leaving them. He was helping to bring on elders. And so we see them appointing elders in that respect. Now, don't be confused either, because appointing elders isn't just going along and just picking people at random like that. That is not what it's about. We've been teaching that. You know, the idea of appointing elders is bringing elders on. They were bringing on men. There's also an example about elders gaining their position. They were appointed. Okay? So one Sunday morning, a man doesn't just stand up and say, now listen, church, I've had a good think about this. I've spoken to my wife. I prayed about it. And I've decided that I want to serve this congregation as an elder. And so I'm going to start my role as of effect. And, you know, if you need anything, that is not the way it is done. These roles are by appointment. Even my own role is an appointment. A deacon is an appointment. These roles are where you are appointed, these roles. When I became an evangelist here, when we started this ministry, we never had an evangelist. I was just part of the congregation. We were just establishing. It was brand new. There was just a couple of men. And so we were finding the feet as the church began to grow, and the church realized that we needed somebody in full-time ministry. And so that position was there, that they appointed me as an evangelist for the congregation, as a minister. And so, in this case, we see the same thing as apostles, you know, and that was the important thing. So that's the example. So let's just take a look at the second passage. Let's just see if this is going. Okay, no worries, I'll do it this way. Okay, so we're going to look at the second passage. Oh, it's froze. Hang on one second. Sorry about this, just one second. Okay. Okay, so the next passage then we're going to look at, Titus chapter 1 and verse 5.
For this reason, I left you proof that you should set the order in things that are lacking, and according to all this in every city, as I commanded you.
Okay, thank you. So our first passage. Example. The example is the appointed elders in every church who prayed with fasting. They commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. The second passage is command. For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. Again, note this. We said in the first passage they're appointing in every church. All the churches, they're appointing elders. In the second passage he says, listen, in every city... In every city, I left you in this Crete, I left you in Crete that you should set in order, that you should set in order and appoint these elders to do these roles. This is a command. The other passage was an example. This is a command. Paul speaks to Titus. He's almost saying, do you remember what I told you, Titus? Do you remember what I told you to do? Can you recall all of that? I told you to make sure you organise the church and appoint elders in every city. You know, as I commanded you. He's already been told. This is like a reminder. This is like a reminder that this is the reason I left you here. You know, that this was the purpose to which I put you here. The purpose was that you should set in order the things which are lacking. So the Apostle Paul tells Titus, you know, do you remember what I told you? I told you to make sure you organize the church. I told you to appoint elders in all the cities. So this is something that he commanded here. The first passage is the example. The second one is a command. So the things that Paul speaks about probably refer to the directions given in 1 Timothy. You know, we've looked at those. Because in the First Timothy we have a list of all the qualifications of the elder. And so he is saying to another evangelist, what I said to Timothy maybe, you know, what I said to Timothy, or things that you heard, these things are important. I say to you, this is what you have to do. This is very important. There are no other passages that give us anything else on this matter with reference to appointing. So we have these two passages. One's an example, one's a command. Very clear. You know, there's no hiding from the urgency. There's no hiding from the priority. There's no hiding from the fact that God says, my church, the Lord says, my church, I want these things in place because these things are important. These things matter. And so this example and again the command, as we see that was given there, the things that are important. We can only go by what we have. And that's what we have. Two passages give direction on how to select elders, you know. So let's review that. Let's look at that. So as we said, elders being appointed is and we mentioned this last week, it's not a democratic vote. We're not going to pass ballot papers around and say, right, everybody, write a brother's name down, throw them all in the pot. And we'll come along and we'll go to the one that wins, like we're appointing a government leader. You know, we're not looking for popular men. We're not looking for businessmen. You know, I've known places where they've appointed someone an elder because he's a successful businessman and he's got a successful business, you know, and he's... And so they think that he'd be good in the ministry because he'd be well organised. And that's not correct at all. That is not the correct way. It's not a vote. You know, whether they're well versed in scripture. We said you can have people well versed in scripture, not have an ounce of wisdom. You can have people well versed in scripture and all the Bible not knowledge, but don't live it. The first example that we see, remember, we're looking at qualities of a person. How do you see a quality? Not by just what they say, but what they do. The quality is they live. You know, we talk about Galatians, when we talk about fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. How do we identify it? By the way they live. This is the lifestyle. This is the way that they live. And so elders being appointed is not a democratic vote. We're not looking for popular people. We're not looking for business people. We're not looking just for well-versed men. We're looking for people who know the scriptures, of course, because that's the you've got to navigate through. That's part of the qualification. We know you can stand there and quote scriptures very easily, but it doesn't necessarily mean that these things are part of you. And so these things have to be seen in you. You know, you've got to be a patient person. You've got to be a loving person. There has to be a love. You can't be a person that antagonizes or a person who creates problems or a person who like the Pharisees would use their teaching. They knew the law. They could go through the law. They could quote the law. But the recognition was not seen through the way that they were living. In fact, they were living so badly that it was recognised, and even the Lord himself pointed this out to them about their lives that they were living. And so the qualities is very much based upon how these people apply themselves. Elders are also not self-volunteered, as we said. An elder is appointed. So how does this come to be? You know, how does this come to be? They are raised up, and you know that can come from way back. You know, they may have been around elders, may have been brought up in the church, have seen a lot of this, and so being raised up means these are people who are adapting and growing. We can say chosen or appointed. Okay, appoint means to raise up or ordain. You know, that's part of it. Ordained means to set alongside. To set alongside what? To set alongside the Lord. To set alongside his word. To set alongside the ministry. And so, one of the things that I stress is this. That for a man to aspire to be an elder is not a person who's standing up going, I can't wait for this. You know, I'm gonna be recognised by everybody as this amazing. But no. As we said before, an elder is like the man who says, he puts his hands up and says, I'm going to go into the burning building and fetch out my people, God's people. I'm the one that's going to put myself in these situations. I'm going to be unpopular. I may not be alive. They may be mistreated. I may have a bad time. There may be times when I'm going to be discouraged by people or circumstances or situations. And so these are men who aspire to a great task. And so when a person aspires to a role like this, we see how their character shows the person that they are. And so to raise up or to be ordained or ordained means these are the men to be set alongside these roles and tasks to protect God's church. The Lord expects shepherds in this congregation. That's his expectation. That's what he expects. He's expecting them. And so it's important. Whoever is appointed in leadership within the congregation, you know, if you haven't got a preacher, if you haven't got an elder, someone is going to assume some form of responsibility. There has to be somebody. Whoever that is, with reference to the scriptures, of course, in the Bible, the apostles, they appointed the elders. In Titus, we see the evangelist appointed elders. Recently, in Birmingham, in Erdington, the church there appointed their first full-time minister. They asked if I would go on their behalf and appoint him on behalf of the church to pray over him. And so I went along, not for me to appoint this man and pick him out. He'd already been selected by the church. They knew he was the right man. And so I was able to go along and simply just pray over him and encourage the church and say, this is, you know, praise God. And so this man was appointed as a preacher within that congregation to serve the Erdington congregation as their full-time minister. And so even with appointments in leadership, or any roles like that in the Bible, the apostles, the preachers, the evangelists, we see Titus, we see the apostles, we see these. Titus was supposed to appoint elders. So here we have another example, an example in a church that has no elders but has a preacher, then the preacher would appoint the elders. The preacher's role, amongst other things, is to raise men according to the qualifications of the scriptures and to appoint them on behalf of the church. The aim is that they will serve as elders for the congregation. When they are ready, he appoints them to eldership, but that does not mean that he just goes and takes no attention to the church. You know, if a man is aspiring to be an elder and is recognised that way and is ready and appointed, the church would be informed, because the church may know something that the preacher doesn't know, and it may be something that we have to go and talk again to the brother with and just discuss with and just to try and establish through scripture and prayer. This is important, you know. I can recall growing up as a very young child, and I can remember some very messy occasions when elders were appointed in very strange ways, you know. And they had ballot papers, and they were calling them out, and there were people standing there saying, he can't be an elder. And I was witness to things like that, that make me understand as I grow and study scripture, that is not the way God intends it. You know, there's a way that he intends it. So this was Titus's doing. So I see that Titus left an example to be followed for us as well in scripture. So in a church with no elders, the preacher, if you've got no preachers, then someone has to have had some role or responsibility that they are deemed to do. One of the things that my father, I Saturday nights I go and sit with my father for a few hours. We have a bit of supper together, and I just go and be with him. And we always talk about the church work, always. And even last night we was talking about eldership, and he says that you will recognise elders being elders before they're even appointed. You know, and that's part of it, because he says what they do is you will see that quality in them. You know, when there's a meeting, they're the first step. If there's something happening, they'll be there. If there's somebody down, they've probably already spoken with them or prayed with them. And you know, these are people who, you know, when there are discussions and there may be some controversial discussion, they'll be ready with the Bible saying, listen, this is what it says in Scripture. And so that's part of it. And so the preacher takes on that responsibility. His responsibility is to seek men who have a zeal for service and begin raising them up, not going around saying you're going to be an elder, or just pointing people out randomly. This is about the individual's growth and development and them aspiring for these roles, which is the process. Elders are chosen by guidelines already set out in the New Testament, the biblical teachings there. We've been looking at it over the weeks. We're not been just randomly talking, but we've been basing it on the things that we have read. And so we have the information for the kind of person we are looking for. The information is there. And we can utilise that teaching to understand and better know for ourselves. We have examples of how to put these men in place. We have examples and experiences in Scripture of how they function and why do we need them and who's the head of them and what is the authority. It's all there. And over the weeks we've been looking at that. So we have everything that is needed. So when establishing new elders, the church would be updated. Why? As I said, because the church will need to be able to say in private, this is now a quiet word. This brother is aspiring to something I know, and I need to share it with you. And it might be then that we have to go and speak to this brother to get the facts and find out the situation. We want to know if you have recognised these qualities in the brother. You may say, I don't recognise that in this brother. And so, do you know something that we do not know? Those who aspire to be elders, even though they might have refused in the past, may be not ready. And so, again, that's another thing, because I know of men who have aspired to be elders, but when people have said, you know, they said, I'm not ready. and it wasn't the time, and so that at that time they're not ready. But when the time comes and they're ready and they continue to aspire to that and they're working on things in their life, remember, we're not looking for perfect people. If you are looking for perfect people, we never have elders. Elders are human beings. They're going to even make mistakes. You speak to an elder. You talk to an elder. I've talked to many elders. Get information from them. Good people to talk to. Get understanding. And they will say, you know, we make mistakes. We make mistakes. We fall. The devil's at us as well as you. And the times when we fall, we have to hold our hands up and say, I've done wrong. I've made a mistake here. And they put it right. Because they're not perfect people. But what they are is they're men who are aspiring to be the best that they can be. And they're the men that stand out amongst the crowd. And quite often they're in situations that can be very testing. You know, because the elders may be under scrutiny, the elders may be badly treated. They may have to address a situation, the response won't be good. But they have to stand firm in their faith and in their teaching. And so, again, this aspiring to be elders, even though they might have refused that in the past, at that time may not be ready, they may be ready now. It's still okay to express a desire to serve in this role. You know, if you aspire to be an elder, you're not quite there yet, keep aspiring for it. You know, listen, if you're single, aspire to be an elder. Young men in the church, aspire to be elders. Aspire to that. Seek those margins in your life. And as you grow and mature in life, you'll find your way. You'll see if God has you for that role or not. And so it's still okay to express a desire to serve in this role. I know people who said, I'll never be an elder, but I'll never stop pursuing the qualities of an elder. Because they're great qualities for all Christians to aspire to. After all, the first qualification is to aspire. We looked at that. You know, if somebody doesn't aspire to be an elder, they will not be an elder. You have to aspire to it. And as we said, you remember when we did a first study, we said, this isn't an arrogant person. This isn't a person who's looking at me and I'm aspiring. This is a person who recognises the importance of this task, but also how big a task it is. This is a massive responsibility with a lot of life-changing things going on in their lives, because this will be life-changing for them. And when we get to onto the wives, you will also see the effect that it will have on the family as well. Because it affects the family. In all ministries, it affects the family. You know, even in the ministry either, it affects your family. And so these qualifications, when a man aspires to that, you know, and seeks after that, that's the first part, the first step in the process of adding elders to God's churches. Do you aspire to it? I aspire to it, yeah. But I also recognise and understand, listen, to aspire to something, you need the facts. You know, we knew this even in industry years ago. You know, when I was doing, when I was running a haulage business, and in them days, it was a long time ago, and I can vaguely remember it, but, you know, when somebody came for a job, you told them the facts. You know, you told them what you're going to be doing, you know, and then it's whether they, and then you would say to them, is this still something that you'd be interested in? That you might be lying under an articulated truck on a motorway in the rain, on your back. Fixing it, things like that. And so the importance is this, is that it's the understanding the task and then this aspiring. If a man aspires for this role, then that man is the man in reference to the fact that that's the first step that is there. Eldership is so important. So important. It can't be brushed under the carpet and left. You can't go on year after year after year saying this is not important. For this congregation, it's important. It's critical. You know, we need shepherds to protect this church, this congregation, to watch over and oversee the people here. And that is very important. And that is what the Lord is expecting here. And that is a very important point. It takes time for the elders to grow as well. And I want you to understand as we go further into our studies, eldership isn't just like that. It takes time. You know, there are times when they're going to work things out. They've got to establish themselves because the brothers will get together and say, yeah, how are we going to do this? You know, we've got to get together. We need to pray together. We need to study together. We need to address things together. We need to work out each other's qualities because one elder might be the best listener. Another elder might be the best discipliner. Another elder might be more good with people going through bereavements and difficulties in their lives. And so all the elders will have different qualities. They merge together and they become a unit. And so this is a big part of what you think. It takes time for the elders to grow. And so when elders are appointed, give them time. And we'll be looking at our responsibility because we as a church have responsibility to our leaders. We're going to look at that. And it's very serious as we go through that. Okay. We'll stop there. And Brother Lucky, yes, sir.
We just will look in this direction.
Okay.
Well, when I'm learning something, I want to be more practical on it.
Yeah.
We've been on this class for a while now. I want to be more practical. Let's use this complicated scenario.
Sorry, could you repeat that?
In this church here,
yeah,
scenario.
Yeah.
For example.
Yeah.
This is the Church of Christ in Leicester now. We know ourselves, we know our standard and regular things. What are the roles of the church or the evangelist or the preacher in encouraging someone or a family? They have all these things in them, but they don't desire it. So that we can be able to have a positive result at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But by the time we keep on putting all these children in our head, now there's nothing like practical, a kind of balancing them together. One of the things that we can achieve while we are doing this class.
Yeah.
So my major question is that what are the role of the church or the evangelist in encouraging? Yeah, the person to say, well, you must desire it. I may have all this thing, all this quoting me, but I'm not desire to be here. How can you help me out of that? That's the first question.
Yeah.
The second question on it is that with this quality over there now, what's the impact of a leadership key in what? In being an elder in a commission like this? For example, we can see a position of Moses. He was chosen to lead the children of Israel. But along the line, we can see how the father in law accepted him in a leader of what? Being having a leadership key in working as a team, coordinating them, and be able to know when and when things have to be done. These are the areas we need to look into and see how we can come out of this. So these are the two questions I have now.
Yeah, thank you, Brother Loki. Yeah, and these we will address, because remember, we're coming to the responsibility of the church. The church has a responsibility, and not only before we have elders, but when we have elders. Big responsibility for the preacher. Responsibility. This congregation has a responsibility for the preacher. How they treat the preacher, how they behave to the preacher, and how they encourage the preacher. Same as deacons, but also to each other as Christians. You know, we have responsibilities to each other as well. And you're absolutely right. These will all, I assure you, these will all come out. These are all in the series that we're looking at. Because at the moment we're looking at, the authority of the eldership, we're looking at the purpose of the eldership, we're looking at the qualities of the individuals to be elders. We know they're going to aspire to that, but the church has a responsibility to bring that on as well. And so that will come into the lessons, but I hope we'll reach those points that we can draw them out. We're getting very close now to these areas because we're just about to come out of this piece now. We're going to look at the elders' wives, and that is a big part of what you're talking about. And then we come on to the church and the church's responsibility. And so my goal will be to, as you rightly say, address these things so that we can clearly see. Because the objective is this, is that we want eldership in this congregation. We need shepherds. That is the plan. That's the aim. The aim of this isn't just a random lesson for us just to sit here and just gain a bit more knowledge. We're trying to address things to see how we can develop this within this congregation to make this safety and this protection. So you're right, so we will appoint them and we'll make sure that we do address all that. And if you find that it's not being addressed, just by all means, you know, let me know. Because you're right, it's absolutely important, without any question. So thank you for that, brother. I appreciate it. Okay. Next Lord's Day, God willing, we'll get on to the wives. And then the following Sunday, there'll be no class because the children are going to be doing a presentation here, so we can encourage them. And then we'll come back to resume and move on to the next stages then, and we'll be focusing on the things that our brother Lucky's mentioned as well. Oh, sister, yes.
Thank you for the teachers.
No, thank you.
My question is it possible for the congregation here to fasten and prayers for asking God for giving us elders?
Fasting is something that we can't arrange. Fasting is something done privately. Fasting is something that's done by all means, you know, I'd encourage that. Fasting is something we do behind closed doors. I know some people do it as groups and everything else, but we can look at that. But what I think with reference to things like that, we should dedicate some time to prayer, and we should dedicate some now. I know on the first Wednesday of the new year, we're planning to have that evening Wednesday class for prayer. That's the first Wednesday of the year. And so, which will be the first, I believe. And we will utilise that time for prayer. And I would encourage the entire church to come. Let's pray about our elders. Let's pray about leadership. Let's pray about development within this congregation. Because we want to be a biblical church. And we want to have these things in place. Thank you, sister. We'll address them. And yeah, I would encourage people fasting and praying. I would definitely encourage that. Let's go to the Father in prayer.